which we've been talking about the strong church. We've been talking about tithes, gifts, and alms. We've been talking about a number of things that most people generally need to know when they come into the church. And so today, the subtopic that we're going to be discussing is, are the gifts of the Spirit necessary? Are the gifts of the Spirit necessary? All right. Glory to God. Today, what people are calling the gifts of the Spirit is simply flesh on parade. And I got to say it like that because they're putting all the emphasis on trying to get all the glory themselves. But it's not the gifts of the Spirit that is operating. Some people call the gifts of the Spirit somebody shouting and running throughout the church and hollering and etc. Those are not gifts. Amen. There are just as many counterfeits in the church as there are outside the church. Amen. Matter of fact, they can better do their dirt inside the church because most of us just accept anything. We just accept anybody coming in and saying, oh, I've got a powerful victimony or testimony or of what the Lord has done for me, and they're not even born again. But there are a lot of counterfeits today, and the devil presents the alternatives. And he shows a lot of these other so-called Christian organizations, which are actually considered Christian, non-Christian cults. And he tried to, I guess, point out to you that there are other ways to the Lord Jesus Christ or walking in the Spirit or things of that nature. And we were just talking with someone earlier today concerning Mormonism and how they put their commercials out there. And how many of you have seen a Mormon commercial? I mean, it's... They have the title, Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, and they know they don't really believe in him, not as the Messiah. They just believe he was perhaps one of the gods that was a man first that progressed to godhood. That's what they believe, in case you didn't know that. But their commercials are geared toward morality. And there's some good commercials, I mean. Before you know it, you think, hey, this is really nice. And then at the end, Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. It's like, oh, come on. Well, they're very professional in how they present their gospel. And that gospel is not the good news, but that's their sense of presenting. That's their way of presenting what they believe, which is not biblical at all, because you do have a lot of cults out there. And as I said, there are as many outside the body of Christ as there are inside the body of Christ. But some church organizations have a genuine naiveness concerning the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it's a genuine naiveness. But there are some that just refuse to believe that the Holy Spirit is active or applicable today. He's just as relevant as he was thousands of years ago. I'm convinced that everything we do in the body of Christ must be with the aid of the Holy Spirit. For without him, there can be no regeneration of our human spirit to change our human nature, our sin nature, into the nature of God. So it's necessary for us to have the Holy Spirit active in our lives. He transforms our human nature. He is the spirit of adoption to make us a part of God, literally. And without the Holy Spirit, there can be, in other words, there can be no comfort. Because Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send one which will comfort you. He is called the Comforter. Well, if the Holy Spirit is not there, we're comfortless. It's impossible to have these gifts without the Holy Spirit. For the Bible declares that these are the gifts of the Spirit. The church can't exist without the awesome power of the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says it's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Any other power that exists outside the Holy Spirit is not true power or the true power of God. The Holy Spirit and church goes together like water and liquid. Are you listening to me? You can't call it water without it being liquid. So even as the Holy Spirit and the church goes together in that same fashion, you can't have church without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. There are churches that are just simply gathering, and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with their coming together. There are churches that they're all doing their own thing. And I've been there. I know. I know what it is to be in a dead church. I don't know about you, but I do. A church service without the Spirit of the Lord is simply a group of people doing their own thing. As I said, it's a dead church. And this was the problem in the Old Testament. They had the law, the word, but they did not have the Spirit. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 3 and 6, it says, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It was impossible for them in the Old Testament to live what was written in the Bible. They had no power. So how can the church exist without power? Are you listening to me? The church in the Old Testament, which was considered in Israel, they were the church. They had no power to live out, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit or bear false witness. They couldn't do that. How many of you before you were saved, when you tried to do right, you couldn't? You didn't have the power. Some of you still can't do right. You want to do right, you just don't know how. I'm going to show you how. Amen. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive
power.
Say it again.
Power.
Say it again.
Power.
You shall receive power after that, not before, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in El Paso, which is our Jerusalem, our city. And Judea, that means the surrounding region. And then Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth, that means in all the world. So if you want power to know how to live this life, you've got to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be active in our service. The letter kill it, but the Spirit gives it life. It's impossible to live this without the power or the baptism or the might of the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it. It's impossible. I know one thing. I wouldn't be able to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. When I was sinning, I loved sinning too much. Now, I know a lot of preachers will tell you, well, you know, I hate sinning. Well, when they went to bed with that woman or whatever, I don't think they was in there. I hate this. Am I ministering to anybody? Hello, I just want to be honest with you. We can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit's revelation. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus went to the disciples. He asked men, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, hey, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist, come back. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? And they were bewildered. They didn't know how to answer that. Now, who is he? I've seen him do some miracles. Now, who is this man? And then Peter had to speak by revelation. And he said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the messenger and the message. Thou art the one that will bring deliverance. Thou art the one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, man, my God, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. You didn't get it by going to seminary. You didn't get it by attending some theological seminary. You didn't get it by going to college. You didn't get it by going to Bible school. You didn't get it in church. You got it from God. So you need the revelation of the Holy Spirit to make things clear to you. Don't forget, the Bible even says over in the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, that this thing can't even be understood without the aid of the Holy Spirit. It's spiritually discerned. So you've got a lot of people that are looking in the Bible, and they're looking and searching to try to make and show that the Bible has errors. How many of you know people that they just love to say, well, you know, I found an error in the Bible? Well, if you did, it was a misprint. That's what it was. Because there are no errors in the Bible. I've searched and searched this Bible, and the Bible says to be ready to give an answer to every man. To every man that asks for the reason of hope that lies within you. I should be able to give you something. When the critics come up to me, come with your stuff. I got it. Usually, most of them are speaking something they heard somebody else say. So when you break down and say, well, actually, that word in the Greek did not intend, it did not suggest what you're talking about. So they think, what do you mean? Well, you're reading from the King James Version, which simply means that that Bible was written back in 1611. And they say, uh-huh. It was written back in 1611, and some of the words that they use today don't mean the same words today. I mean, the words they used then don't mean the same today. So you're able to correct their fallacies and then bring hope, hey, that there is a God. There was about 40 men that wrote this Bible, but if I don't care if they wrote it, it was spiritually or inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it has to be spiritually decoded. You see? Now, I mean, I've been just like you. How many of you know? I mean, I've sat out there, didn't know nothing about what this preacher was talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've sat out there like, what is he saying? What is this stuff about my sin? I mean, hey, come on, give me a break. I'm trying to do the best I can in life. I mean, we find ourselves being more lenient with ourselves than we are with others. And I just felt, hey, as long as I'm attempting to be a good person, I'm okay. Don't preach this stuff to me. Isn't it funny? People go to church but don't want to be preached to. That's what's supposed to be happening. That's what's supposed to happen when you go to church. You're supposed to hear the word. And they'll sit down there, don't preach that stuff to me. In their mind, they're saying that. You know what I'm saying? And there's like, come on, man, don't tell that stuff to me. I didn't come here to hear that. What you go to church for? Do you go to a restaurant not to eat? If you do, if I owned it, you're getting out. You're giving up your seat. All right, I'm going to leave you alone. Sometimes I wonder how some Bible scholars can even conceive having the church without the Holy Spirit or without the gifts of the Spirit that belong to the church. How can you ask for my help? Let's just say, how can you ask for my help without me giving you my abilities? Therefore, how can the Spirit of God be present in the church without manifesting his abilities? Whenever the Spirit of God is wherever he appears, there is a manifestation or a demonstration of power. Every single time. That's why if we don't have a manifestation of the power of God, somebody getting transformed, their life being transformed, someone getting healed or whatever, someone being touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, well, if we don't have that manifestation, we've missed the mark. We're doing something wrong. We're coming to church for the wrong reasons. We've got to have a demonstration of the power of God. Now, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I got about 5 minutes, right? How much time y'all want to give me tonight?
Go for it.
You know, yeah, bring out the cock, right, yeah. I'll be like, yeah. And the Bible says, no. Matter of fact, the same person that say bring out the cocks is the one that's up here. Excuse me, I have to go back. All right. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible or look at the persons next to you. Look at their Bible. But you need to have a Bible so you can read along with me. Everyone has a Bible? All right. 1 Corinthians, I'm reading this out of the NIV. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit is for the purpose of the church, to work and to enhance the body of Christ. All right, the 8th verse says, to one there is given through the Spirit or by the Spirit the word or the message of wisdom, to another the word or the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits or discerning of spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Now let me quickly, just look at me real fast. I've made this point before. Just as the gifts are operated and should be operated in the church, the devil has a counterfeit of this operating outside of the church. And we know about the 900 numbers and call for the psychic hotline, and Stallone's mother is now advertising, and showing, I've told the famous people their future, and you know, etc. They're operating not by the power of God, but by limited power, and that's the power of the devil. And the enemy does have some potential to give you some information concerning your future, but most of it is deceptive. There are very few people that are really activated and energized by the enemy, by the devil. They're weak, but those that are really energized and activated by the devil, they know their stuff. But isn't it a good thing they couldn't touch you? Yes. Are you listening to me? There are people that can reach or claim to reach your palm. And they'll tell you, how many of you have ever had your palm read? Okay, you need deliverance, all right? I want to just give you some information because this is, it's meant to be, it's said to be very harmless. But it opens the door for spiritual, demonic spiritual activities. I'll never forget my brother, which is my older brother, when we were young, living in Chicago. I'll never forget one night he woke up everybody screaming in the house saying that he saw the devil. He saw the devil. And I mean literally. After that day, my brother was never the same mentally. Most of the people that are in your psych wards have mental problems based on something spiritual. Because, they're looking for some kind of spiritual comfort. They're looking for something that they're void of. And that void can only be filled by the power of God. So you've got people that have a crystal ball and have the Bible right there. You got masons that will, and let me say it out loud. You have masons. You know, isn't it funny that people will tell you, yeah, we're masons, and you know, give you that secret code and all that other stuff, the handshake and all that good stuff they call it. And then, but the whites and the blacks can't come together. All right, okay. Let's see now. I'm talking about counterfeits now. Hello. How many of you were ever Masons or at one time involved in it? Raise your hands. All right. You go through the ritual of, you know, cutting your throat, your belly, and all this other stuff. Thank God if you're born again, all you do is say, hey, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I don't have to say, Lord, I promise if I mess up, you can kill me. No, thank God for forgiveness. All right. But you've got so many different things out there to attract people because they're looking for something. Masonry pulls you in because you're looking for togetherness or cohesiveness. So you want to look for friends, somebody that you can become bind yourself with or whatever. So they use that as a tool to pull people in, and they don't realize that it's all demonic. Yeah. Even the symbol is demonic. Well, most of the people just go in thinking, hey, this is a good group. I had one guy in Germany, he was a part of the Masons and had gone up a number of degrees, and he got born again. And so we had the opportunity of sharing with him. And he said, you know, I just to think back, most of the time, I mean, we when we got together, we had the Bible open, and I thought, man, I was a Christian because I was a Mason. And he said, hey, I'm a Mason. Hey, and he gave me some literature that said, you know, if a Mason is on trial for a murder or something, and you're sitting on the jury, and he gives the distress sign, you're not to vote against him, even though you may know he's guilty and believe he's guilty. But you're bound by that decree to honor your commitment to that person. It's a counterfeit of the real thing. Everything is a counterfeit out there. If it's not in the body of Christ, it's a counterfeit. Don't forget, you've got people, Jim Jones, he misled. How many did he mislead? Over 1,000? A little over 1,000? The guy David, I usually call him four-eyed, so four-eyed David was out there, but he claimed to be the Messiah. I've never recalled the Messiah coming and dying in the fire. Okay, all right. But Jesus said, some are going to come and say, I am the Christ. Or, Lord, look over there. There's the Christ. Don't go. Amen. Are you listening to me? So you've got to be careful of certain things. All that I've read, the different gifts of the Spirit, there is a counterfeit of it outside of the church. You may have some people, and I've had people come to me, oh, man. Listen, I'm leery of people that says, okay, I got to go to Mother Teresa. She called me and told me God showed her something. All right. Let's just say this is Mother Teresa right here. Joanne is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa calls me up and says, Mike, I seen in the spirit. I seen in the spirit something good coming your way. Something's good. Now just leave and leave $30-$40 right at the door on your way out. Is that God? All right. The enemy, as I said this before, you know, we come into church, we get filled with the Spirit of the Lord. We get drunk on the Spirit, which is a new wine. We talk to the pastor or listen to the pastor for counsel. Amen. And this is our church. Well, in the world, they have the same thing. The guy goes in to the bar. He goes to see the pastor, the bartender. Hello. You know what I'm talking about, right? The bartender, he's crying before the bartender, and the bartender is his pastor, and he says, well, you know, here's some spirit here. And the guy, you know Mac? Usually their names are Mac or something like that. And so after he gets filled with the spirit, he's drunk in the spirit, and so he has to go home afterwards. Well, that's a counterfeit of the church. the enemy, the devil, has a counterfeit. Because if you think that is the way the world is supposed to operate, because it's been operating that way for so long, when you see the picture of the truth and how the Spirit of the Lord is to operate in the body of Christ, you will say, how deceived was I to go this route and to not even look in the Scriptures? Most people don't even pick up their Bible. But they'll believe somebody just because they said it. If God spoke a word to you and you did not obey that word, only after God has made attempts to minister to you will he come to me or someone else to confirm that word. Let's just say Scotty, God was saying, Scotty, stop what you're doing. I don't know what he was doing, what he's doing. And Scotty's just, okay, Lord, but he keeps doing the same thing. Well, the Lord will come to me and say, I want you to go to this brother and tell him I said to stop what he's doing. He's sinning. I go, Scotty, you know the Lord told me to tell you to stop what you're doing. Scotty knows what God has already been saying to his heart. Are you listening? Well, let's look at these things. Let's look at these gifts. There are three categories of these gifts. What are they? One is mind gifts. Two is what? Anybody know? Vocal gifts. The third one is considered power gifts. Under the mind gifts, what are the three gifts? Anybody know? Real fast. Anybody know? Anybody know? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Under the vocal gifts, what are they? Okay, the speaking in other tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what else? Prophecy. Amen. What's under the third category, which is power gifts? What are they? Faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Amen. All right, you're getting somewhere. So these are just some of the gifts to the church to function. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 says, so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Here we see the essential of the gifts which are presented to the body of Christ. And this verse points out that the gifts of the Spirit are instrumental in building the church. So let's look at some other gifts which are designed, or look at what these gifts are designed to do. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Turn your Bibles there. Just turn over. Okay. It starts off on the 22nd verse. It says, tongues, and read out of the NIV. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. Let me read that one more time so you can understand it. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Now, why are these signs of tongues a sign for unbelievers? Now, he's not just speaking about you talking in an unknown language. Kawasaki coming on a Honda. Okay, he's not speaking about that. He's speaking of the ability to speak in other languages through the power of the Holy Spirit without you being educated, without you having any knowledge of how to speak in that language. And just as in the book of Acts, the second chapter, the Bible says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They begin to speak in the languages that the Parthians understood. Not tongues now, not the tongues that we consider, which is our prayer language, but an articulate language that they understood. Some of them may have spoken Spanish. They were speaking things and glorifying God that all the Spanish people understood. And they knew that they didn't understand Spanish. They knew they didn't know how to speak it. That's why it says here that the tongues are not a sign, then are a sign not for believers but for the unbelievers. If you know I don't know Spanish, which I don't, and I start speaking in Spanish, you're going to say, that is God. Am I right? If I start speaking in Hebrew, and you know I don't speak in Hebrew, you're going to say, that's the Lord. If I start speaking in slang, and you know I don't know slang. Yo, bro, homeboy, let's praise God. You'll say, nah, I know that's the glory of God. The 23rd verse says, so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're all mad? Will they look at you and say, what in the world is going on? Everybody, how many of you, if you didn't know what was going on, you've never been in a service like that, and everybody in there, ha-la-la-ha-ka-ya-ho-yi. Had one woman in the church years ago, when she spoke in tongues, it was like she was cussing at you. Now, what did you say? One of her children came to me one time. She said, Pastor, tell my mother to stop talking in tongues to me when she gets angry at me. And my mother came and said, well, that's I'm rebuking the devil in tongues. Well, that's not right, because tongues is not given for that purpose. That language is given to. That's why the devil is angry when you do pray in tongues. Because he can't understand what you're saying. If you pray in English, you can pray like this. Oh, God, I'm having a hard time. I don't know. I feel like killing myself. Things are hard. I don't know what to do. The devil's hearing it. So he says, oh, they're confused. They don't know what to do. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel like dying. Yes, you do feel like dying. And you're praying. You're saying, oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm so confused. The devil says, you're so confused. You don't know what to do. God has left you. He knows exactly how to attack you. Because how you pray. You pray in a language he understands. Now, he can't understand your heavenly language. Because that the Bible says that's your communication to God. There are two types of tongues, an unknown tongue and a known tongue. All right, let's go on. It says, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying in an articulate language, prophesying, speaking a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart, will be laid bare. They're open. In other words, if somebody comes in and a word of prophecy goes forth and that person understands that language, and let's just assume I'm speaking a word of prophecy, God is saying in this time that he wants you to raise up yourself. You've been down too long. You've been crying. I remember one time the Lord gave me to say to this woman, that God said that he's seen you in your bathroom on the floor crying just last week. And the person was just in awe. Because no one was in the person's bathroom to know that. But God showed me that and told me to speak that. Well, that's what the Bible is talking about. When you prophesy and someone that don't really understand certain things, they'll at least come in, understand an articulate language, that you're speaking something that only God knows. How many of you have ever said something to God and no one else, and all of a sudden somebody came and spoke it to you? I told you about the person that got in the prayer line one time when the preacher said, get out my prayer line. Fellow got up there, he said, I don't want to go. No, pray for me. And the preacher said, get out my prayer line. Fellow got out, came back up. He said, sir, get out of my prayer line. You don't want me to pray for you. He said, no, I want you to. And when he spoke a word, he said, who is Brenda? Room so, so on. Hotel, da-da-da-da-da. Man fell on his knees and repented. Could have saved the embarrassment, right? You understand what I'm saying? You know, don't mess around, because God's got people. He reads your mail. He reads your mail. He knows exactly what's going on. You think you're deceiving somebody. God knows. He knows your heart. And so when there's a church that is full of the gifts of the Spirit, and people are not arguing, saying, I'm better than you because I speak with tongues. And this brother saying, I'm better than you because I lay hands on the sick and they recover. And the other will say, I'm better than you because I prophesy the word of God. A bunch of confusion. God's not in it. The Bible says he is not the author of confusion. Amen. So we know that God isn't involved in junk like that. I mean, that kind of stuff turns anybody off. It turns the believers off. I can't even stand junk like that. Folk in competition. You tell somebody, you know, God used me, man. Praise God. He's so mighty. Yeah, and he used me too just the other day. You know, like, we ain't competing. I'm just telling you my victory, but you don't have to get all hot about it. Glory to God. But it says in the 25th verse, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. How are they going to know that if we don't speak something that they're not, that they know nobody is aware of in the church? If I could just use our sister Michelle, your husband came to me the other day and he was saying how you all had been talking about something just the day or two prior to me speaking the word that Sunday. And you had not discussed that with anybody in the church. And you did not call me and tell me. And your husband didn't call me and tell me. But what I said was, did that coincide with what you all were talking about? Just raise your hand so people will know you're not lying. Amen. Because I had nothing to do with it. So when God speaks something, isn't it good to know, hey, I know it's the Lord, because he don't know anything about me. He don't know anything about me. I know that's God. God is saying, repent. I'll never forget one time the Lord just, man, I mean, he was just so hot on me. The sermon was just beating me in the head. I was just, I felt such grief in my spirit. And anxiety, because I was fighting, you know, pride and, you know, man, it just got so bad. I remember one time I was with this other fellow. We went to church. Just so happened to just be driving that night. You know, we're just driving down the street looking for some fun. Hot fun. Good fun. Just driving. And all of a sudden, he gets this thing in his heart. Let's go to this church. I'm like, church? Man, what you talking? Man, I want to sin. I don't want to go to church. He said, let's just go in this church. I said, okay. We went in there. Lord, man, the boy was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. People were in there, and this man was just preaching. I had never at that time heard words so powerful that went straight to my spirit, straight to my heart. And he was just speaking, and I'll never forget, he was just standing in the front. It hit my partner so hard. Mind you, I'm half high on some weed, and it just hit him so hard, man. He just went up to Ben and even do an altar call. That's how hard it was. Peter, the Bible says one time Peter was preaching that the power of God just fell on the folk. Just fell on them. This man was preaching. My friend Troy just ran up, just crying, veins popping all out of his forehead. I'm like, man, what is this? I'm nervous and apprehensive about being in here. You know, never been in a church just full of the power of God like that. Didn't know what to do. When I came to, my glasses was off of me. My shoes was off my feet, literally. But they must have laid hands on me, and I went out. like a light. I went out. I don't remember how my shoes got off my feet. How many of you have ever been hit like that in the spirit? I mean, somebody lay hands on you. You're like, I ain't falling. I'm not going down for nobody. Lay hands on me, preacher. I'm ready. Just pray for me real fast. You brace yourself. All of a sudden, whoop! The power. I remember over in Germany, lady came up for prayer. This was instrumental in the woman coming and giving her life to the Lord. The woman came up for prayer. So gently the Lord, you know it wasn't this push, hey, and they fall down, you know. I just gently touched her. And as I touched her, she failed. It was literally, honest to God, I'm telling you the truth, literally in slow motion. I'm trying to grab everybody. Hey, grab the woman, catch her. I seen her hit the floor. Didn't break her fall, went straight back, hit it like and like came up like she was bouncing on a mattress. I was like, anybody else? The power of God is in me tonight. But how many of you know that power don't last forever? When the anointing is there, you better move when the anointing is there. When I come down off of that thing, I'm still Mike, you know. It's like, Pastor Brown, you ready to lay hands on? You should have came when the anointing was there, man. Now I'm just going to have to wing this thing with you, brother. But every single church is to be packed with the power that the Holy Spirit provides for service. Our whole purpose is to reach the heart of man, not to pick and choose who we want to be in our church or in our fellowship. Amen. And as I'm a firm believer that there shouldn't be no such thing as an all-black, white, Hispanic, Asian church. Amen. There's only one church. And you look over in the book of Acts, that was the first church after the death of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you really want to get technical, Jesus had some black in his lineage as well. And one of the person in his lineage was a harlot, a whore. Oh, okay, let's go on. I'm not going to get into that though. Amen. But when we begin to flow with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will instruct us exactly on what to do. So when people are coming in, we know we're ministering to them. We know we're hitting the spot. I mean, what's the purpose of going to the church and not hearing from God? You know, when you go to church, you expect to hear from God. So when people come, and we've had some of the worst critics that are now born again. And I've given a testimony. I mean, Scotty came in. He was prejudiced against blacks. Came in, the power of God just hit him. Start hugging all the black folk in the church. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hello, hello. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you blacks may have been prejudiced until you came in and saw some of the whites. And hey, you're fellowshipping with the whites and some of the Hispanics, the same thing. Are you listening to me? I'm just using him because he's my very good, close brother in the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Acts 8:29. I'm going to give you three quick verses here on how the Holy Spirit leads somebody. Acts 8:29. You remember when Philip had to go and minister to the Ethiopian? Mm-hmm. It says over in Acts 8:29, the Spirit told Philip, the Spirit told Philip, that's a capital S, the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. The Holy Spirit instructed him on what to do. Acts 9:17, turn there real quickly. Acts 9:17 says, then Ananias went to the house and entered in, placing his hands on Saul, which was actually considered Paul. Don't forget, every time there's a change of relationship with God and a person, there's a change of names. All the time. All the time. Isn't that beautiful? As far as God is concerned, just like when Abram came to God and that covenant relationship, they married up together, he became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. There's always an exchange or a change of names. Lucifer, when he messed up because he fell out of relationship with God, what was his name after he messed up?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. The accuser. So every time there's a change of relationship, there's a change of names. And so in Acts 9 and 7, we see that this Saul actually refers to Paul. And he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here." Now, how did he know it? Exactly. The Spirit of the Lord informed them. Let's be very clear. It says, "As you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, that's how Paul knew, hey, this is God, because how did he know that God, the Lord, appeared to be on the road to Damascus? He wasn't there. Matter of fact, Saul would have killed him. He had a letter to go and imprison all the Christians, the real Christians, all the other phonies and false folk, you know. They would deny Christ. But he was sent to imprison them and even kill some of them. And as a matter of fact, if you did any studying on this chapter, Ananias was actually frightened. When God came to Ananias, he said, "Now Saul is going to come." He said, "Saul, is that the one God that got that letter and he's killing all the Christians? And you want me to do what?" No. I can see him pacing the floor. And the Lord says, now, Ananias, listen to me. I've changed the man's heart. Change his heart! God, this man, God, he's killed some of my best friends. I mean, you want me to lay hands on him? Trust me, Ananias. Ananias. Slow down, Ananias. Breathe. Okay, Lord. You want me? Don't God speak to us?
Yes.
It may not be audibly, but it may be in your spirit. You know he's talking to you. It may be through the word, or it may be through someone, but you know he's ministering to you. Glory to God. And when you know he's talking to you, isn't it funny sometimes when you're like, how many of you have ever been mad at God? You're like, God, you don't understand. God is saying, I don't understand. No, you don't. It's hard down here. I'm trying to be saved. And you know what it means. Lord. God, you don't. God is saying, let me tell you something. I've been tempted on every side. Yeah, but you don't know what it's like, God. I'll never forget one time, man. I mean, I was strapped financially. I mean, folk was calling my house at midnight. I was afraid to pick up my phone. When the phone went ring, I just look at the phone. Ring, heart boom, 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 ring, boom, boom. All of a sudden, it looked like this phone becomes huge. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, pressures were on me. And I sat down on the couch and I was, God, I'm over here preaching your word and I'm financially, I can't even buy a pot of pee, Lord. God said, this is what the Holy Spirit literally said to me. I'll just sit here and wait till you finish feeling sorry for yourself. I said, sorry for myself. Okay. I sat down and I said, okay, what, Lord, what is it? What should I do? That very next day I got out of that financial problem. The very next day. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit instructs us. So when somebody say, hey, look, I don't know what to do, you just say, wait on the Lord. Say, wait on what? Man, I got to make a decision now. Wait on the Lord. Man, they're all on my back. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Acts 10 and 14, 45, I'm sorry. Acts 10 and 45. It says this, and this is the last verse, and we're going to close with prayer. Are the gifts of the Spirit necessary for the church? It is certainly necessary. God wants the letter to provide knowledge, but the Spirit provides life. Acts 10 and 45 says, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. The Gentile simply means anybody that's not a Jew. All of a sudden, had the opportunity to be filled with the power of God's Spirit. What a God to provide for us the strength and the ability to live what he wants us to live. It wouldn't be God to say, I want you to do this and want you to do that, da, 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 and not provide the ability in us to live the life. It wouldn't be God. And that's why throughout the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord would come and dwell within our hearts, because he only came among men then. Whenever anything was done, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them in the Old Testament. They weren't filled, baptized, saturated with the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have him living in us. We have the potential and the power to say no. But you've got to wake up to why God's provided us the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. People are dying and spiritually all over this world, and even in your own neighborhoods and on your job, and people are looking for answers. They may look like, man, everything's going real fine, and they may have, for the guys, they may have all, look like they've got all the girls, and they drive the nicest car, and look like things are going well. But man, you don't know inside. There's a tornado, a storm going on. They're wrecked inside. They're just looking for people to for accreditation. They want people to tell them how good they are, so that's how they feel good. But every time they go home, they have to lay down in that bed and know that they're not satisfied with their lives. I've been there. And so when we can provide help and just speak a word, so when people come in, I mean, just out of love, just tell them, hey man, God loves you. Even if it's not that, you know, the moment I saw you, the Lord told me that he's got some great things for you. They may think you are off your rocker, literally, but I'll guarantee you, it's like the preacher years ago when I was in the back of the church, in the back, in the corner, in the dark, you know where most folk go when they come to church, they don't want to sit up front. I was all the way in the back, literally. And a man pointed me out, and like, man, can you pick on somebody else? Pointed me out, and he said, what's your name, son? Mike Brown. God's got a blessing for you. Your life won't be the same. And God bless all of you. You know, when you're not saved, you don't know the lingo. You're like, and bless you too. I didn't know, you know. I said, but I didn't realize what God was doing. I knew he was pulling me. I knew he was pulling me, because I couldn't get away from Christians. I couldn't get away from them. Thank God for people that are turned on to the Spirit of the Lord, going where the Holy Spirit sends them, because when I would go somewhere hoping I would avoid some of these believers, they either end up in the store meeting me, and I know it was never by coincidence. I used to think, man, God, here that guy is again. I'll never forget the guy came to my door. He said, Sunday morning, you remember you said you were going to church? I was like, well, I'm only playing. You know, he said, I'll wait for you. But I'll be right in the car. I'll be right down. I was like, who is getting dressed? Who's this guy? Who do you think he is coming to my house? Yeah, what's up? Let's go to church. And got born again that very same day. So he knew. He knew. Actually, I went to him. I said, Troy, did you tell these people about me? He said, I didn't say a word. I was just like, no, so you had to talk to these people because they knew too much, you know. You had to tell them something. He didn't tell them anything. He just knew that God was dealing with my heart. And he used to be, as I told you before, he used to be the driver for me when I would go and pick up drugs. But he got born again. Isn't God good? Look at somebody and say, let the Holy Spirit, work in your life. You got to. He builds the church. He edifies. That means to build up. He's building the church. We're not doing it. He's got to do it. The church belongs to them. And we're just part of it, and we have our portion to do. So make sure that you touch them. Don't spend all this time thinking about your own problems. There are people with worse problems than yours. Start hearing God. God, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. I'm a firm believer in that. Matter of fact, the Bible declares it. You draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things. What are these things? You know, is money a thing? Is a car a thing? Is a spouse or wife or husband a thing? Is a family a thing? A new job a thing? A raise a thing? All of these things, the Bible says, he'll add them to you. Just seek him first. Bless the Lord. Every head bowed in there.